kind and heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us peace. Father, the enemy tries his best to come and disrupt a peaceful morning, but his little soldiers will never win. Father, we just ask that you keep covering us with the blood of Jesus, that you keep us focused and centered on you. Be with Zeti. She came on here this morning asking for help, Lord. We know that you see her struggles. We know that you see her needs and her wants. And we just ask that you continue to cover her. You continue to give her hope for her and her little family. Lord, we just ask that you be with everyone on the live. Those who've come in with the wrong agendas, the wrong ideas, be with them too, Lord. Continue to tug at the heartstrings that they have. Continue to knock at the hardness of their heart because they truly need it. They have been fully covered under the deceit of the enemy and they need to be woken up. And we know that you are the only one that can do that. So we ask that you be with us all in a mighty way. Amen.
Oh, dearie me. Right, guys, we are reading reminders of our heavenly home. Reminders of our heavenly home. This is the thing, you know, guys. I hope that Zeti's still here. I think I said her name right. Zeti or Zeti. I hope she's still here, guys. She came on this morning and she was struggling with her mental health. And, you know, I think that we all go of struggling because we are focused, our focus is in the wrong place. That's what the Bible says anyway. Our focus is in the wrong place. We're looking at the things that are in front of us rather than looking to our heavenly home. This is not our home. You think this is where we're staying? You think this is where we're staying, guys? Do you think this isn't where we're staying? This is not our heavenly home. This is our temporary residence. When we lay our hopes in temporary situations, we are always going to end up being burnt. So we have to focus on heavenly thoughts, focus on Jesus to get us through the trials, the tribulations, the problems that we have currently that we're facing. We have to focus on him. It ain't easy. It is not easy. But I think this devotion here is for us to be reminded of where we're meant to be heading, where our focus is meant to lie. So reminders of our heavenly home. We're reading from Nehemiah 9, verse 6. It says, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Guys, when we look out and look at all of creation, right? Look at all of creation. There is no animals that are sitting there that are worried about being preserved. They know their food is coming. They know their food is coming. They know they have a home somewhere, someplace. Everything is preserved. We're beings. We are the only parts of creation that sit here worrying about these things. We are the only ones that sit here worrying about these things because our faith doesn't always rest in the Creator. Our faith rests in us and our ability to provide these things. And we are not meant to. We were not built to have these problems. Why? Because thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts and all things that are therein. The seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. There you go for screenshots. Sorry, Lise. Here you go, honey. Screenshot, 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 screenshot. Cool. Okay, so let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9. Has anyone read Nehemiah before? I've never read it. I'm not going to lie. I've never read the whole book. It's not even a big book, you know. It's literally 13 chapters. It's not even big. That might be on my rule to read it. Okay, Nehemiah 9 is about a day of solemn repentance and confession. So let's read from verse, should we read it from verse 9? Let's read from verse 1. It says, now in 24th day of this month, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord, their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebana, Bani, Sherebiah, Bani and Shenana, I don't know how to say this, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, I don't know how to say these days, I'm sorry guys, they also stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Let me just recap, because I messed up. On the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel assembled with fasting. They came, fasted, wearing sackcloth. Sackcloth, when you wore sackcloth, guys, in those days, it was a sign of, not mourning, but yeah, it was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of that you were probably going through something, okay? Why are they in sackcloth? Why are they fasting? Because they have come to confess their sins. They're in a state of confession of their sins, and they are standing up and saying, bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. And the hosts of heaven worshipeth thee. We should be focused, guys, focused on this being, this creation, fasting. We should be focused, guys, focused on this being, this creation, fasting. Don't have humility. If you cannot humble yourself, you will never get to the golden gates, because that is a requirement for you to see yourself as the sinful being that you are. If you can't remove the pride, because the opposite of being humble is being proud. If you can't remove the pride, then you can't see, remove the pride, because the opposite of being, then we really are. We reject him because of our pride. So we really do have to come with humility, come with a knowledge and an understanding that we are faulty. We are faulty beings and we are in need of a savior. Anyway, let's see. It says, there is beauty in the valley's awful grandeur, in the solemn, massive cleft rocks. There is majesty in the towering mountains that look as if they touched heavens. There are the lofty trees with their delicately formed leaves, the spires of grass, the opening bud and blossoming flower, the forest trees and every living thing. They all point the mind to the great and living God. Do you know what I looked at the other day, guys? I went on a walk. This was not the other day. This was quite a while ago, but this was the other day. And I was looking at, you know, when early in the morning when the dew hits a cobweb. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but I'm sure you have. You know, when the morning dew hits a cobweb and it literally looks like a crystal or some formation of crystal. When you look at that, I see purely God. I think to myself, how intricate, how beautiful. Is how beautiful is that? Don't tell me, yeah, that that happened because of a big, don't tell me that happened because of this big bang, right? That don't make no sense. That is detail. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you what I mean if you're not sure what I'm talking about. It's usually a spider web. I don't know why I'm saying cobweb, spider web, because outside you're going to have that. Look at this, guys. You're telling me that the creature that made that, there's a creature that made that, for one, that was made, okay, that was created, didn't just appear out of the woodwork randomly. A creature created this marvelous web. And then, you know, water, oh my days. I learned this when I was doing my degree. You know, water is such a crazy molecule. The fact that water can cling to this said situationship here and it can stay in its full shape is a miracle in itself, guys. We need to do it. One day, we will watch this video that I showed my my GCSE students about water. Water is fascinating. There is nothing else like it, guys. There's nothing else like it. Okay, it acts so differently. But anyway, looking at this, you can't tell me there's no God. You cannot tell me. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Look at this one. Look how amazing that is. You're telling me that happened by accident, by chance, by mistake? No. No, 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 I don't want to hear it. They all point the mind to the great and living God. Everything we see, the opening of a bud, the blossoming flower, the forest trees, every living thing points our mind to a God. Every faculty of our being testifies that there is a living God. Everything that we possess, that we own, every faculty we have points to a God. And we may learn from the open book of nature the most precious lessons in regard to the Lord of heaven. When we look at nature, it should give us more of a sense of reality that there is a God. The same way he preserves nature, the same way nature is so intricate, so beautiful, so amazing, it should give us more identity in ourselves, guys, that he is that detailed with us. He's that detailed with us. It says in this study, the mind expands. When we look at these things, our minds expand. It is elevated and uplifted and becomes hungry to know more of God and his majesty. Okay, let me switch it around. When we don't look at these things, when we don't study these things, our mind doesn't expand. It shrinks. Our mind isn't elevated. It is lessened. It is dimmed and becomes angry. Not hungry, angry about God. When we focus on the opposite, guys, when we focus on the opposite, we literally run away from God. We run away from him. It's only when we're focusing on it in the view that there must be a God that we become elevated, we become uplifted. We have this hunger and thirst to know God and his majesty. You're not going to want to know him if you can't see this. If you can't see this, you're not going to want to know him if you can't see this. We have awakened in our hearts feelings not only of reverence and awe, but of love, of faith, of trust, and entire dependence upon one who is the giver of all good. Our minds expand. We are elevated. We are uplifted. Why, guys? Because we have awakened our hearts. And we have awakened our hearts with love, faith, trust, and dependence upon the one who is the giver of all good. Our dependence should rest solely in Christ. When it doesn't, this is where things go wrong. And as I look at his marvelous works and see the evidence of his power, I instinctively inquire, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. This is in Psalm 8 verse 4. All the greatness and glory of all these wonderful things in God's house can only be appreciated as they are, in the mind, associated with God, and the future home of bliss he is preparing for those who love him. For who? Who is he preparing a home for, guys? Who is this future home for? Who? Who is this future home for? For the world? For everybody? For everyone? For those who love him. Who love him. If you don't love him, he's not preparing a home for you. If you don't want him, don't worry, you won't have to live with him for much longer. If you don't want him, don't worry, he won't be preparing a home for you. All the greatness and glory of all these wonderful things in God's house can only be appreciated as they are, in the mind, associated with God, and the future home of bliss, peace, love, he's preparing for him. While we talk freely of other countries, why should we be reticent in regard to the heavenly country? We're like, yes, I'm going to Turks and Caicos. I'm going to the Maldives. I'm going to the Bahamas. We talk freely about these other countries. Yes, this country's beautiful. Look at the white sand and the clear sea. Look how beautiful it is. We should be talking like that about our heavenly home. It's going to be more beautiful, guys. It's going to be more beautiful than those places. While the heavenly country and the house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens, this heavenly country is of more consequence to us than any other city or country on the globe. It has more consequence. It is more important. It is more beautiful than any other city or country on the globe. Therefore, we should think and talk of this better, even an heavenly country. Why should we not converse more earnestly and in a heavenly frame of mind in regard to God's gifts in nature? He has made all these things and designs that we shall see God in his created work. You will see God in nature. You will see God in his creation. These things are to keep God in our remembrance and lift our hearts from sensual things and bind them in bonds of love and gratitude to our Creator. Do you see that, guys? You see this? You see this word here? Sensual. Sensual. We are all about the senses. We are all about the senses. We naturally crave sensual things. Things that are sensual, that make us feel good. I feel like this. I feel like that. I feel like this. We crave these sensual things. Our focus needs to be on things that are factual. No feelings. Factual. And we can see these facts. We can see this evidence in creation. Go for a walk, man. You know, the common one these days is touch grass, isn't it? Touch grass. Go and look at the grass.